What is episode zero? Do you need it? And if so, what do you need in it? We're going to talk about that and something that really cool that Android users are going to be jumping up and down saying hallelujah about this week on Podcast Dojo.
Master the art of the podcast. It's
Podcast Dojo!
Hello and welcome to Podcast Dojo, the show that each week inspires those wanting to start a podcast to grab a mic, start recording, coach those that are recording to master their niche, and to cheer the podcasting community on as podcasting grows more and more popular each and every day. I am your host, Brian, and thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to sit down and put me in your ears and have a listen. This week, got a couple good things we're talking about. First off, we're going to be really jumping into what is episode zero. Why should you have it if you should have it at all? And then also, Blueberry has come out with something fantabulous for the podcast listener, the forgotten podcast listener, the person that there's a huge market for out there, but dadgummit, Google's just dropping the ball, and we're going to be talking about that this week. So let's go ahead and let's get ourselves started. Let's get down to the brass tacks, so to speak, talk about what in the world is episode zero. Now, everybody knows when you're starting up a podcast, one of the things you want to do is number your episodes. Now, should you put it in the title or not? That's something completely different. That's not what we're going to cover, but you want to make sure you have, you know, which one is episode one versus episode 100, episode three versus episode 33. And that is just so that your listeners are able to listen chronologically if they choose. Cause a lot of times if a person hears your podcast, what they're going to do is they come across it and they decide, hey, I kind of like this. What are they going to do? They're going to start all the way at the very beginning. Now, some people will go all the way to the very beginning, and some people will go back to the last 10 episodes, and some will go to the last 20, or they'll go to just the previous one. It varies, but they will start consuming somewhere, your back content somewhere. And a lot of times when you're starting up your podcast, you've got it all planned out. It's time to sit down for the first time and record an episode. Now, what do you want to record about? Well, that is the $100,000 question, actually, because it really depends on you and what you want out of your show. What do you want to be able to convey? A lot of people like to do their very first episode as a, hey, this is the show. This first episode is about me. It's all about me. It's all about my, it's all about, you know, the guy behind the microphone before we start talking about whatever the actual topic is. And so a lot of people will use the very first episode as a toot your own horn episode. It is an introduction. This is me. This is my podcast. This is why I'm doing this show. And that's great. But do you put that as the first episode or do you put that as episode zero? Now, episode zero is actually kind of a new concept in the scheme of things. It's really kind of crept out and I've really took notice of it within the last year and a half, 2 years. Okay, sorry about that. had to go deal with my blind dog. She got herself lost, and I completely forgot where I was. So anyhow, we're going to kind of pick up where I think we were. So if it's incoherent, I apologize. Blame my blind dog. So anyhow, you've got your episode zero, and there is a few things some people do. Now, it can be your episode zero is a completely up to you episode. It's a lot of people. There's two camps is a good way to look at it. Two trains of the lines of thought. One is you don't need an episode zero. Episode zero doesn't make any sense. Then there are those who think episode zero makes a lot of sense. And I've actually just recently jumped over onto the episode zero camp, and I've actually got an episode zero, just created it actually just several days ago. And I'll talk about how if you've already had a show in progress and you're like, oh yeah, I need to make an episode zero, you can make that episode zero available. But the two lines of thought are, you shouldn't have, the shoulds and the shouldn't, or no needs. On the line of needing, what this does is this actually provides a neat little service for your guests or for your audience. And because you've got people who are, they want to know who you are. You want to do a show and you want to introduce yourself. A lot of people like to do an introduction. It's just way, at least in America, our society is. We like to introduce ourselves, extend our hand, shake that person's hand and say, hey, how you doing? I am Brian. I think you're cool. Thank you for listening to what I am saying. This is my story. And we will commence to talking about who we are, how we got to the line of thinking that we got to, so that and inspired us to make the incredible podcast episode show that you are now listening at this moment. So when you actually show or play this episode, there are people who are going to want to hear, hey, yeah, this guy's, he's pretty down to earth. He explained what his story is so much similar to mine as to why he got into the particular niche that he's talking about. And yeah, I like it. And it sharing that little story will a lot of times help people to bond to you better and help form that relationship that will eventually grow and spread to other audience members. Then there are those people who they know they're going to get to know you. You don't have to tell them why you got in there, because more than likely you're going to be talking about your backstory in relation to the other information you're going to share. So to waste my time is how some people would think. I'll jump into this person's shoes for a moment. To waste my time is not necessary. So I don't need to listen to that very first episode. That is the intro episode. I don't need to listen to it. Give me the meat and potatoes of your show. What is your show about? Give me some good information about it. And boom, they want to, from the moment they listen to you, they want to be getting, mining out essential and great content that you're providing. They're not going to worry about what episode, the reason as to why. And that's because you're going to rehash your story over and over and over again as you in other episodes. And a good example of that is if you listen to the podcast Talent Coach, Eric Johnson, all you have to do is listen to about 5 episodes. And somewhere in one of those 5 episodes, he's going to talk about how he was at one time for 25 years worked in the radio industry. Now, is that overkill? No, actually, because he uses that very fact to back up that he knows what he's talking about. And he knows what he's talking about. I listened to his stuff and I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I had never thought of that one before. And it helps to, that's where you get your, he's the one who inspired me to go through and start listen to, you don't have to listen to every show, but you know, listen to the watch the replays, understand what happened on your show. Are you saying excessively, which I've realized there are times, especially whenever we get into the news portion of the show, if you want to call it that, a lot of just because it's more of me spouting. Oh, thank you, Pixie. There's the blind dog. Hold up. I tried playing my show around when she's sleeping, and it didn't work this time. She decided to wake up from her nap, and she wanders, and she... Oh, yeah. Anyhow, it's a blind dog. Well, she's a trip, love her to death. She's, I don't know, 12. It's retinal atrophy, I think, or something like that. Anyhow, my blind dog, what happened is her retinas, the cones and rods that are in the retina, dogs don't have as near as many cones, which if I'm thinking right, or rods, whichever one is allows for color, dogs actually can see a little bit of color, just not as vibrantly. But anyhow, for whatever reason, something happened and those cones died off. Well, when those cones died off, it's the oxidization of it. And again, I'm not a biologist. I don't even play one on a podcast. It ended up killing off the other cells. So if it was the cones that died off, then the rods ended up dying off because the cones were, because of the offset of a balance that the cones died. Like I said, I don't fully understand, but anyhow, her retinas are dead. And, you could definitely tell it because her pupils are blown. Her pupils still work fine. It's just that her brain is saying, we don't have enough light yet. We need more light. And so her pupils are open all the way. And so she's in dark, perpetual darkness these days. And so she gets around the house. Just sometimes she ends up getting herself lost. So, all right. So there's one of my backstories to speak of, but so anyhow, you listen to Eric Johnson and his story of how he come to the information that he has concretes his story concretes his knowledge. It's a kind of applies a social relevance to his knowledge base. He is able to show that, yes, I know what I'm talking about because of X, Y, and Z. And so your backstory can help. So, and some people don't want to listen to it. Some people do. Okay. trying to podcast in the middle of the day is not working today. So, all right. I was talking about Eric Johnson, podcast talent coach. You can find his stuff over at podcasttalentcoach.com. But you don't have to have episode zero unless it's something that you really feel would help with your brand. Now, for me, I like it. I like doing a podcast zero. And like I said, when I started off, I didn't do a podcast zero. I started out episode one. I called it the big intro or something along those lines. Anyhow, it was just an introduction. Hey, how you doing? This is me. I'm doing this. And this is why I feel compelled for whatever, you know, depending on show, I'm feeling compelled to do this. And because of being able to if you're able to do an episode zero, that will actually give you, you can actually set two shows up. You can do your intro, then you could do your meat and potatoes one and have an actual episode that's not around just you, which is kind of takes away from, some people believe it takes away from your episodes, your brand or your podcast itself. And so that way, when you go to submit your podcast to iTunes, you can actually then take your, when you submit your RSS feed, you actually don't have just one. You've got two, so people can choose. They go, oh, well, heck, I'm not going to listen to this time week because, well, it's just the intro. Again, I don't have time to listen to an intro. I need to grab the information that I need and get moving down the road. So you can have that and have episode one, and the person who doesn't want to listen to the episode zero is still able to get episode one and be able to start garnering the critical information they need. So having an episode zero is good. Some people don't do episode zero. They'll do episode one, and half the show is about them. The other half is a shortened version of what the show is going to be about. Much, and that works too. So there's more than one way to defer the feline. And you can set it up. You can set your podcast zero or episode zero, your podcast. I still want to have a calorie free podcast. Podcast zero. Episode zero. And it can be, well, like what I've had my setup. My podcast zero episode. All right. We're going to start with the simple words. The first episode of the podcast, which is now episode zero, we'll start slow, is actually my promo. I've here recently decided I need to make a promo. I need to just suck it up. I am so afraid of that promo. And the reason why is I believe in myself, but there's still that little imposter that hangs out in the back of your head, and they hear, oh, you've got a podcast about a podcast. Oh, that's so original. Well, and I know that. I know I'm just that original, just out of the sheer fact, because I've got, well, let me look here. I've got my phone. Let me pull up my podcast app real quick. Pocket Cast, which is what I use. And there it goes. I have, at the moment, podcasts about podcasting. Well, let's see here. There we go. I have a whole whopping 41 podcasts about podcasting in my podcasts playlist. So, yeah, I know. There's more than one out there. And each one is different. I mean, mine is got similarities to the four podcasts that I admire the most, which is Cliff Ravenscraft, Dave Jackson, Daniel J. Lewis's, and Ray Ortega's. Those are the four that I really kind of based it upon, but then took it in my own direction. They were just kind of the starting spot of going, yeah, all right, there. I know that there are people who will listen to podcasts about podcasting besides for me, because they prove it. They were there just a little bit before I was. Dave was there about 6 years before I was. But they're doing their own style. And so that own style part is what is my hang up. And that's because I've always thought of myself as the unoriginal guy, but that's again, a personal hang up that I am fighting over. And the best way to tackle fear is to just address it. And the moment you address that fear, it'll either A, materialize as an actual reason to be afraid of something, or it will disappear and you will realize that it wasn't something to be noticed. But usually we're picturing our fear to be this great, big, huge, monstrous, ugly boogeyman. And even if it's really there, say we sound like we're talking through a trumpet or something, you know, just we sound like, in all reality, we sound like a Peanuts teacher, and we're just wah, 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 wah. There's still going to be people who will listen. May not be near as many as we'd like, but you know what? We still got people that will listen. It's still going to be there. It's still, that information is still out in the ethos now. And just because I was afraid. That's one reason why we had the big dead space at the end of 2014. It was strictly my fear until I came up with, released my first episode this year in 2015, back in January. January 15th, actually, if I'm thinking right. And I took that fear and I held it up to the light. And I said, hey, if they're truly mad at me and I have truly lost them, they're still not going to know that I've started back up because they've left. So you can take that fear and kind of just do your darndest to do away with it, because it's a mute point at the worst. But anyhow, I kind of got myself off track on talking about the fear of what comes about. So we'll get back on to actual talking about episode zero, which is for me used as my promo, because that's where I was, how I got over onto fear. Knew if I talked about it, I'd come back. But anyhow, so my episode zero is my promo page. That way, if anybody ever wants to use my promo, all they have to do is go to podcastdojo.com/promo, and that'll take them to episode zero, or podcastdojo.com/000, and that'll get them there. So you're able to take your topic, and you can actually shine the spotlight on it with using it as episode one. You can start off, and that'll help a lot of people. But what do you want to have on we've talked about episode one, but what is actually needs to be done in episode zero? If you do want to have it, some good suggestions for using episode zero is, like I said, your promo. If you got a promo, have it, put it in episode zero. Your social media contacts. Say, hey, you can get a hold of me in here and 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 here. Instagram, Pinterest, yada yada yadas, and I'm even on Elo and Sue and any other pod and any other social media or social network sites you can think of. I'm probably there. May not do much on it, but I'm there. You can also just kind of write a little bit of a biography on as your show notes. Or you can take that stuff and link it over to your about page. You're able to set your episode zero however you want. The sky's the limit. Free as bird on how you want to be able to do your episode zero. So it doesn't hurt to have an episode zero out, and recommend actually putting one out. And if you're late, that's fine. I started out with first episode, episode one, and it wasn't until just about 3-4 days ago that I was like, you know what? I'm making this promo. I need to go ahead and put it someplace. I'm going to link it to the about so that people are able to get to it there, but they're also able to pull it up on if they go to the promo page, which is episode zero. So if they go to podcastdojo.com/promo, like I said, takes them over to the episode zero page, and also helps to give a little bit of an intro as to for people. So whenever they're doing their show, if they want to do a promo swap, hey, that's where they can grab the promo. So it's a good idea to do that, but you can put any information you want and would recommend you do so, just so that you give more information out there for your listeners and your audience to be able to really grab what they want to grab and to learn about you. So give it a try. If you have a suggestion or an idea or some other idea, please go to podcastdojo.com/ 033. This is episode 33. I don't think I've mentioned that at all this week. Oops. If you have any comments about what episode zero should be about or shouldn't be about, or whether we should have episode zero or not, you can make a comment down at podcastdojo.com/033, and we'll have a deep discussion as deep as you want to have it. I've been having quite a few really good discussions actually, and we're going to be talking about them here real soon. But we do have some awesome news to be talking about. A couple of really big things. Actually, one item that was, I don't know how it slipped my mind. I even forgot to put it in to mention it at the beginning, because hallelujah, podcasters stand up and unite. The Electronic Frontier Foundation has done it. Yes. Podcasting Troll took a big old stone right between the eyes and is out cold. The EFF came through like a champion. It was David against the Goliath, and they won. They actually beat the Patent Troll. Personal Audio LLC has nothing to do now other than wish he had thought of the podcast app or podcast patent way back in when he first thought he was going to do serialized tapes, magazines on tape. So yeah, Personal Audio LLC, I have a little faith in the government from time to time, but this is one of those times where it's thankfully pulled through. We have defeated the biggest threat to podcasting. So folks, if you have been holding off for doing your podcast because of this patent troll, you heard about this patent troll and you didn't want to get sued for billions of dollars or however much they were wanting to try to get squeeze out of this, however much blood they wanted to get out of this turnip, these turnips continue to grow. It is great because they are, we're, oh, it's almost so freeing. So everybody jump up and scream and holler and say, yip, yip, yahoo. Or you can imitate, Albert Einstein in IQ and go, wahoo. However you want to do it. Just thank EFF. Send them a tweet. Send them an email. However you want to thank them. Thank them for the hard work they did. They saved an industry. So thank you from Podcast Dojo to the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Thank you for all your hard work. Thank you for the community for getting together and giving all the prior art information that they could give and that they did give and they did submit. And it was just amazing. Sad that CBS and Discovery Channel or whoever it was that got sued, got that through before the patent was invalidated. Of course, they should be able to go and now overturn that ruling. So, but now the something else we need to celebrate about. Okay. There are two sets. Now, technically there are three or four sets of podcast listeners, but there are two big ones. Okay. There is the Apple group and the Android group. Now, the Android group, the Apple group listens to the lion's share of the podcasts, but the Android group has the lion's share of phones and other devices out in the market. And this is, I'm talking worldwide, not just in the US. We're talking about from America to, Afghanistan. They're just all the way around the world. There are more Android powered phones than there are iOS powered phones. So if that's the case, then why is Apple beating Android in podcast consumption hands down? Well, there's a lot of discussion as to why that is. And a lot of people believe, and I'm in that camp, Apple, because I've used Android. I used Android for 5 years. Yeah. Darn near 5 years. And I've just switched over to the iOS. And you use both phones in a different way. And now I've been a podcast listener on Android for almost those 5.5 years. I was actually, even before that, I had an iPod, and I used listen to podcasts even before then for the first couple years there. For about 8 years that I've been listening to podcasts religiously, it's been for about 5.5 of those on an Android powered device. And I can see people, Android users are, now there's a lot of podcast listeners that are Android users, but there is a problem with Android when it comes to podcast listening, because when it comes to an iPhone has got a 64 gig size, now 128 gig, a 32 gig, a 16 gig, and an 8 gig. And most of the Android devices for the longest time were just, you know, little 4 gig, 8 gig phones. And if you wanted to upgrade or have big, more storage, that was fine. You could put in an SD card and expand it up to, you know, 164 gigs if you chose. Well, and I did that for a while, but then there's I've not ever come across anybody who actually says this, or it may have just been the fact that Galaxy phones just are SD card hungry, because I could put a micro SD card in and I could have it, use it for the photos. I could use it for music. I could use it for audiobooks. I could use it for my podcast, and it would never fail. When you plug that puppy plug your phone into a computer to transfer data files back and forth, somewhere along about the 15th, 16th use, it seems for me, my SD card would get eaten. And I mean, not just kind of, it got wiped. It would become non-existent. I could put it into any other item and it would still not be seen. It was dead. And most Android users these days, yeah, you've got that opportunity to add an SD card, but a lot of they're venturing away from the SD card expansion. So you have like the HTC Ones, the M8s, the M7s, M8s, and now M9s. They don't have expansion cards. So if you buy a 16 gig, you're stuck with a 16 gig. You're stuck with that little bit. And that sounds so odd for me to say. A 16 gig phone is little. You could put quite a few songs on a 16 gig, but at the same time, most of that space is being taken up by apps and the operating system. So you're not going to have much room for media. So a lot of times, Android phones are not thought of as media devices. They'll stream to if they want to listen to something. And that's one of the reasons why the number one podcast listening app there is in Android is Stitcher, which, okay, I've talked about why a lot of podcasters don't like Stitcher, and that's because they degrade the quality of their audio. But there's, because of the fact that that's how many of the phone manufacturers, Samsung, HTC, Huawei, and the other manufacturers have looked at it is not as a media device. Granted, yeah, Android, Google itself, who is the parent company for the Android operating system, could do more. They, for a little while, they had Google Listen, which was a kind of a pod catching app. It wasn't good at all. I didn't use it. I used BeyondPod for a long while, and that was back when BeyondPod was a pain in the tail to even use. So Android for a long time has not been a podcaster's friend, because there's very few people willing to put up with the heartache and the aggravation to find a decent app, which if you want a decent app, you're going to have to cough up $5 to $6 for an app, which I know is might as well be giving your firstborn child in the world of apps, because who pays for something that you can't actually physically hold in your hands? I get you. I have come through to that because I buy music and I can't actually physically hold my music anymore. But at the same time, I don't have to worry about my CD melting in a car. I don't have to worry about that MP3 melting in my car. It's because it's, even if I was to have an MP3 player that melted in my car or got stepped on or was chewed up by the dog, guess what? I haven't lost it. It's floating around in the ethos. I can just re-download it. It's great. It's awesome. Well, this is the same way with the purchases of apps. Now, a lot of people at the same time are thinking of how software for a computer is. Adobe, big example. You spend $1,000, pretty close to $1,000 for the Creative Suite. If not $1,000, it's really, really close or over for the Creative Suite. So you can get Audition, Photoshop, Illustrator, this and that, and all these other apps that go in the suite, and you're using it, and you've gotten pretty used to using version Creative Suite 5 and doing all right with it. And then what happens? Oh, hey, next year comes out. Guess what? You got Creative Suite 6. And you've got to, if you want to have all the neat and new stuff for it, guess what? You've got to cough up another $1,000. That's one reason why Apple is beating Microsoft to pieces, because they just released their latest operating system for free. And Microsoft's going, oh, well, how are we going to make money? They're not understanding the ecosystem. They'll make money off of the hardware. The software is just the ecosystem for your income. And so Microsoft is going to be releasing Windows 10. They're completely bypassing Windows 9 and going, oh, okay, well, we're going to go 10 and it's going to be free. So the apps are slowly pulling the big boys into the loop of way people think these days. But there for the longest time, people would think, oh, well, I'm not going to spend $5 on an app that's going to end up costing me another $5 to upgrade it to the new version. Well, most apps these days don't. And so you don't have to worry about that. And I know I just went on a big, long tirade just to say, if you're going to, in Android, you've got to buy an app to get a good one, whether it's Pocket Cast, Dog Catcher, or what. Now, there's also Podcast Addict, which is a good podcast app that is out there that uses what I'm about to talk about. This whole long monologue that I've been giving is to lead all the way up to Blueberry stepped in where Google fell short, because Google did not make a decent center for podcasts. Google did not looked at podcasts and said, there's no money in it. We don't care about it. If there's a calling for the market, someone will fill it. Not our business. And so because of that, podcasts have basically fallen away from Google. Still used, but they are they're going to start coming up a little bit easier now, because Blueberry is taking the reins and saying, hey, there is a need for this. There is a huge market. There are, I forget, something like 7 billion people on the face of this earth. And most of them have got, or a good portion of them, I'm not going to say most, a good portion of them have some type of smartphone. We can use those listeners. So to help them out, Blueberry created the protocols needed for a one click subscription, which is great, because Apple's had it. You go in and you, if you're in the Safari browser and you go to a website or go to a podcast website and you click subscribe or you click on the RSS feed, guess what? Boop, it's subscribed into your podcast app. Instantaneously, boom, voila, there it is. No muss, no fuss. Go on down your road because it's already, you're subscribed, you're set, you're good as gold. In like Flint. However you want to say, it's done. And so, and for Google, that has not been the case. Google, you'd go in and you'd have to find your app and then you'd have to go over or you'd find the show that you want. And then from there, you have to hope that they've put a link to their RSS feed somewhere. Because a lot of times you'll come across an iTunes link. Ah, click on iTunes. Well, that's not going to do an iPhone or an Android phone any good. And that's one of the problems. And that's one of the problems I personally aim at fixing to educate the podcast community about is you've got to have an RSS feed. Yeah, it may not look the prettiest, but you need to have something somewhere, even down at the very bottom where nobody looks. Need to have some type of link to an RSS feed for your podcast because there are people who do not use iPhones. Do not ignore those people. There's more of those people out there that do not have an iPhone than those that do. So have a link. And because of the protocols that have been now put in place by Blueberry, they've made it a lot easier. Now you actually don't have to worry about that RSS link. Still put that RSS link somewhere. But now, right beside the iTunes link, you can now put subscribe on Android. And they've gone through and done a great job of making a beautiful little blue button with an Android beside it that says subscribe on Android. You click on that and wham, if you've got a app that has got the protocols installed, which is just like a little 10-line bit of code, guess what? Automatically, you will be subscribed to that show. It is a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful thing. And I highly recommend if you have a podcast already and you have a website for that podcast, go to subscribeonandroid.com and enter your URL in there. Click on it. And it's down at the bottom. It's going to say for publishers and it's going to give you a HTML code that you can put into your widget on the side widget. If you have a WordPress theme or WordPress site, just go to the widget and you can use HTML or plain text and just put in the HTML code in there. And what's going to happen when you save it, it's going to appear on your page. That easy. No muss, no fuss. It's great. It's easy for you. It's easy for your listeners. It's easy for everybody. And I recommend you do it. And if you are a podcast app designer, go to subscribe on Android.com also and get the code. It's like I said, it's a little 10-bit code. Down at the bottom, they say for app developers, just click there and they've got all the information you need to be able to add the proper protocols to your app. So anyhow, folks, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get out of here. I want to thank you very much for taking the time out of your very busy day to allow me to talk to you in your head. Let me into your head. If you could go over to podcastdojo.com/review and leave a review, an iTunes review. Even if you don't use iTunes, create one. I know it's kind of a pain in the backside, but create an account, go in, look up Podcast Dojo and leave a review. Give me however many stars you think I deserve. And what that does is that helps the community grow. The more reviews I get, the higher in the rankings I go as more people download the show, not me myself, but you know, downloads the show and it gets me higher in the rankings. So people are able to find the show a lot more. And that's one of the reasons why people like to do the review swap. But it does a disservice in that the reviews aren't real. I want real reviews. So if you think I'm only worth, I'm a joke and a half and I only need about a one star, if you could give me a half star, that would be even better, or just a point of a star. I understand you can't go that low, but okay, give me a one star. But if you do, please tell me why I've got a one star. Don't just put a one star and say, eh, type in meh. And because that didn't tell me nothing. If I'm that bad, I hope I inspire you enough to at least tell me why I'm that bad. If I am worth five stars, give me five stars. And I'm not going to complain. As a matter of fact, I'll talk about the one star as much as I'll talk about the five star. And I'll talk about the five star as much as someone gives me a three star. All ratings are welcome. And I would like to hear what you think of the show. So thank you again for listening. Tell your friends about us, about the show. And if you need any help setting up a podcast, if you want to set up, you don't have a website, or you need help setting up a website, or even if you're just trying to figure out how to find what you want to talk about, go to podcastdojo.com/contact. And there's several different ways you can get a hold of me. If you're needing cover art, brandbear.ca, Lilith there, she will help you get a piece of cover art out. So lots of services there that I'm working on, actually putting together some new services to for you folks, and those will be coming in the next couple of weeks. So folks, again, thank you for taking the time. I'm going to let you go now, and we will talk to you next week. Until then, go tell the world who you are.
Hey Rolling Podcast Network. Hey Rolling.